You might see a harvesting of souls. And one of my greatest burdens over the last few days has been actually the whole city of Coleman. And it came about by they came out with some reprints of Scottish Puritans. They haven't had them in print for hundreds of years or a long time. And they just came out with two-volume set of the Scottish Puritans. And what stirred me up to that was I was reading about a man named Wallace. And when he was talking to his wife, and she said, "I have the burdens of all the days and keeping the day up and my duties." And he said, and he broke when he said it, he said, "But my dear," he says, "I have the burden of this whole city bearing upon my heart. And I wish that they all knew Christ." And he spent up to 6 to 8 hours a day in prayer. He'd wake up in the middle of the night. He says, "I don't know why Christians can't wake up in the middle of the night and beseech God to move amongst us again." And it just stirs you up to realize that in time past, how God moved in people's hearts. And it was God moving in his heart, nothing on his own, but God moving on his heart to pray for people. And it just encourages me. It's been a blessing for me, and I hope and pray, and I'm looking forward to this new year. There's so much that I expect from God. I think we expect too less from God. But there's so much I expect from God because He's given me so many promises. I can't expect too much from God. And I'm looking forward to it, and I hope and pray that we all are. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." What a divine legacy to all God's elect. Not a sad declaration. Not a sound of defeat. Triumph. If we know Scripture and how it defines to us the persecution of the godly. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that You'd bless this short time we have tonight. I pray we'd be encouraged as we exit an old year and prepare to enter into a new one. I pray that God, You would inspire and encourage us, Father. We love You and we have a great need of Thee this evening. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. I know at first glance these words of the Apostle Paul and the Timothy might appear to be inappropriate or unsuitable for the beginning of a new year. Yet I assure you tonight, no divine truth is more appropriate, more fitting for our entering into a new year than these blessed words of the Apostle Paul. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." What a challenge for any Christian as we begin to face the new year. Because, beloved, I believe that we're all convinced in our hearts and minds that the persecutions are going to grow more in 2009. We only have to look at society. We only have to look at the laws that are being changed, and we know that if we're going to live godly in the midst of that, where homosexuality and lesbians and all these ungodly and wicked rules and laws are being brought in, if we're going to live godly, we are going to suffer persecution. And if we look at that as being a divine legacy and not some kind of condemnation, beloved, I think that we'll be able to be more victorious and prosperous in our godly living. And so I hope and pray we see that as a divine legacy and not as something that is very detrimental or negative. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus." That ought to inspire us. Live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Because this is much more than merely a solemn statement or declaration. But like I said, it's a divine legacy unto all those who would live godly in Christ Jesus. And what could prepare our hearts more for the coming year than a solemn remembrance of our divine legacy as believers. This is what your legacy is as the called out of God, as the elect, as the godly in Christ Jesus. For listen to the language of Scripture. For though the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, tack that on to the verse. It will do wonders. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And that's a blessing. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Though those things be true, beloved, that is to converse and fellowship with and delight in. That's what he means when he says set them apart. Such godly communion shall bring the greatest contempt and persecutions from the world. The more that we have godly communion with Christ, the more that we are set apart because we're godly for God Himself, the more we're going to be persecuted, afflicted, condemned, despised. In a growing world of wickedness, dearly beloved, we can only come down to one conclusion, that to live godly means there's going to be a greater measure of persecution. But then again, if we know the language of Scripture, and by that I don't mean simply in our minds, but in our hearts, but if we know that manifold temptations increase our faith, the trying of our faith is more precious than gold, if we know those things, that the fellowship of His sufferings, if we know the language of Scripture, that excites our heart. Because we desire and long to suffer for the cause of Christ. Because all those sufferings are sanctioned or sanctified by the covenant of grace. But not for the unbeliever. The unbeliever has nothing to sanction his problems. They come through with a two-edged sword and they cut him asunder. And yet our persecutions come through the hand of grace and therefore are sanctified to better the believer. Everything we suffer, dearly beloved, as believers, should better our Christianity. Even our minor differences and trials we have as believers should better our Christian character. Everything is sanctioned by the covenant of grace for the believer. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Why? To converse with, to fellowship with, to delight in. That's what that means. But those that are godly. And yet that communion is going to be despised by the world. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Marvel not. Don't be so surprised. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be shocked. Don't marvel that the world hates you. Beloved, this is the common lot, the divine legacy of all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the apostle says we must not marvel or wonder at that. That is our legacy. And it's truly a divine legacy. If we could fellowship in His sufferings, it's given unto us not only to believe on His name, but to suffer. Amen. It's given unto us. It's a divine legacy. It's a wonder. It's a glory. There's something more than just mystical about it, but there's something divine in that, that God enriches our hearts. And anybody that has done any reading in Scripture, especially in the history of the martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can only tell there is divine grace there. That God would give them such treasures in darkness. And yet not all who profess the name of Christ share in this divine legacy. For many desire the blessings of Christ in heaven, yet who shun His cross and are ashamed to suffer for His cause. That's why we emphasized last time, the emphasis is on those who will live, not speak. Those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. If I clothe, if I put the candle under a bushel, under a table, if I hide my faith, if I hide my Christianity, then I'm not going to face persecution. But if I live my Christianity in the sight of an ungodly world, I'm going to suffer persecution. And beloved, there are many who profess the name of Christ but shun His cross and are ashamed to suffer for His cause. Like how Thomas Kempis said it in Imitating Christ. You probably heard it before, but it's worth saying again. Jesus has always many who love His heavenly kingdom, but few who bear His cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. All desire to be happy with Him. Few wish to suffer anything for Him. Many love Him as long as they encounter no hardship. Many praise and bless Him as long as they receive some comfort from Him. End of quote. Very well put. These people find no consolation or comfort in persecutions. Persecutions have the opposite effect. Instead of being divinely sanctioned to better the believer, if they are those type that shun persecutions, they won't better the professing believer. They make him worse. They have no consolation or comfort under persecutions, no joy or victory in their trials and temptations, because they're not receiving these sanctified persecutions in a manner of grace. And so it harms them. It affects them negatively, not positively. Do you know that every trial, regardless of how big it is, the measure of it, every trial, when it's sanctioned by God, will better you and I? Everything. All things work out together for the good. Either they'll reveal in us something about God's grace that we didn't know, or something about ourselves that was hidden underneath, maybe something that we ourselves avoided, and yet this brings it to the surface that we might be rid of it, that we might be the better Christians. It's like me and Charles was talking this past week. It's amazing. We see very little Christian ethics amongst believers, Christian morals, benevolence, kindness, charity, love, brotherly kindness. Those things are rare. And yet all these trials and temptations, beloved, these are the things that God uses to impart these graces in us. So those that shun His cross, they have no joy or victory in their trials and temptations. But every spiritual task is a burden. Every duty is too difficult. And like the children of Israel in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining best describes their disposition. Because the only way that I can make myself feel better is make somebody else look worse. That's an evil, carnal, fleshly, not from heaven spirit. To make myself look better by making other people look worse, or down-talking others so that I might appear more spiritual. That's exactly what happens with these people. That's the only way that they can get around not being comforted and consoled in tribulations. But a believer, like our dear brother mentioned, I think in passing this last Sunday, or I remember hearing it here recently, God even sends Shimei's our way. Let me go and cut that dog's head off. David said, no, leave him alone. God has sent him. God has sent him to curse you, David? God has sent him to humble me. Even our Shimei's, in the hands of God, are sanctified blessings to bring out in us more of the image of Christ. And we have much to be brought out and much to be put in. So we look at that and we say, praise God for these things. Yet those who have learned the divine lesson of suffering and godliness know that such suffering is according to the will of God, not by chance or merely due to the wickedness of men, but appointed by God. And such commit the keeping of their souls to Him. That context is in Peter. Think it not strange. Amen. He said, but if you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer for Christ's sake, He said, if you do that properly, you commit the keeping of your souls to Him. Three words. In well doing. You don't stop doing good. You don't stop doing well. I'm being persecuted wrongly, incorrectly. I still continue to do good. Why? I've learned that persecution in the hands of God is divinely sanctified to help me.
so that no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, good or bad, long or short, from an enemy or a friend, from a brother or a foe, all these things work together to draw that out of me which is not pure in the sight of God, and give me that which is pure in the sight of God. So they all work together. We commit the keeping of our souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19. Their spiritual disposition is one of well-being, confidence, endurance, and love. And yet such devotion to the cause of Christ and godliness shall not exempt the believer from persecution, but rather arouse the wickedness of evil men and seducers. Why did I say all this? To say this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Beloved, these evil men and seducers in our text, which shall wax worse and worse, these men are not found amongst the ranks of common sinners. Follow me. But Paul is referring to those wicked men under a form of godliness. Those who profess loudly, "I be of God," yet they're wicked and seducers. That's what he's talking about. These all sinners are wicked. But Paul defines them, but evil men and seducers shall lie. He puts a distinction on this group of people. And he's talking about those who profess to be godly. In other words, who have a form of godliness, a form of religion. They're going to wax worse and worse. What's it say here? Deceiving and being deceived. That's not this description of a common sinner. That's somebody who's deceiving or attempting to deceive the godly. Well, I'm just as godly as you are, but I'm evil and wicked in my heart and my mind. Beloved, what an exhortation to enter into the new year. For none despise or persecute the godly more than those whose godliness or ungodliness is merely a form or cover for their own wicked lives. The people in this world that despise the godly people, beloved, the worst or the most, are not those sinners you'll find out in the bars tonight, drinking up till midnight and waking up tomorrow with a hangover. They could care less what we do. You know who's going to persecute us? Those that profess to be religious, yet they only got a form of religion. That's who he's talking about. These are men that are growing up amongst true believers. These are the tares and the goats. They're going to grow worse. That's what he's telling Timothy. They're going to wax worse and worse, Timothy. As you live godly lives in Christ Jesus and you're suffering persecution, these evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived who? If could be, if possible, even the elect. Well, but that's a very stern and harsh statement. Timothy said it in chapter 3, verse 5, just a few verses earlier, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What does he mean, denying the power thereof? Well, he's not talking about miracles and tongues and all those other things. He's talking about the power of godliness. They can't live the Christian life. They lack the power of God's grace. They're not benevolent. They're not kind. They're not brotherly loving. They're not humble and meek. They don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? It says the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. The flesh is a work and a labor. The fruits of the Spirit is something that comes supernatural. You don't produce it yourself. It just happens through the Spirit. That's denying the power. They profess to know a lot about religion, but they deny the power of true Christianity. Of such men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse. You know, much of our Lord's greatest opposition and persecution came from those who outwardly professed to be religious and pious.
Do you know his greatest persecution came from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crowd? In fact, Caesar, king of the sinners, said, "Set him free." He's the one that said, "I wash my hands." He's done nothing. The sinner said, "He's done nothing." The religious crowd said, "Crucify him." Beloved, that's going to continue to grow worse and worse in the world in which we live in. Those that will persecute the godly the most are those who have a form of godliness but deny the power, because they're going to hate and despise everything that we are, because our lives prove the vanity and emptiness of their religion. These are amongst evil men the worst sort, whose deception is of the most dangerous kind. Didn't Paul say that? And I need to hurry, but didn't Paul say that? He said, even with tears, to the elders at Ephesus, he said, "I know after my departure, men shall rise up among yourselves as wolves, drawing men unto themselves." Beloved, that has always been a danger for the church. Therefore, we must watch and pray. That's why church discipline is vital for a church's life. That's why living according to Scripture is vital for us. That's why examining ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith is vital for us. That's why it's important that we walk the straight and narrow way, that we strive to live the Christian life, that we provoke one another to love and to good works. That's the common bond we have as believers. But yet when we turn, like James says, and begin to bite and devour one another, we make our adversary's job the more easier. We shouldn't do that. God's people have a common bond. And though we might differ in the way that we move or react or do things, the common bond has to remain solid. If it don't, we make rooms for the foxes to come in the holes. The Sanballats and Tobias to mock us and to ridicule us. That's why Paul said this. Timothy, be careful about that. You're going to suffer persecution. And I do want to close with this, just a thought for next week, so I don't leave you hanging there on the end of a new year. But listen to this in verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." You see, there's the key to it. There's the solution. Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee, what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Are you saying Timothy hasn't been saved yet? No. He's saying make you wise unto salvation. Wise unto the salvation that you have. It's like James when he said the engrafted word is able to save your soul. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about when the word of God is engrafted in our hearts, we begin to be sanctified and we begin to know something about salvation. And right doctrine means right living. And our lives begin to reflect what we've learned out of God's word. And that's why he's saying that. Timothy, these things are true. That's going to happen. Godly living will cause persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This is what you need to do. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And he goes back to Scripture. This is what we need. Beloved, we have to engulf ourselves in this. It should be normal that Christians do that. But in the times we're facing in the next year, we need to engulf ourselves in this book until this book becomes such a part of our lives that our minds and our hearts are conformed to it rather than us trying to conform it to ours. Knowing whom thou hast learned them. He's not just speaking about himself. Paul wasn't arrogant. He wasn't boastful. He's not just saying because I'm a great apostle and you've learned them from me. No, he's not saying that. If you'll be reminded in the first part of the epistle, he said that I believe that you have the same unfeigned faith that your mother had and your grandmother. You learned from your mother and your grandmother. You remember, Timothy? Did you remember their lives? That's what it's plural. This here, whom, is a plural. It's not singular. He's not saying, look at me, I'm great. He's saying, you've learned this from many people, not just me, but especially your mother and your grandmother. You've seen people who have learned things, been assured of things, and you've seen how their lives have been changed. You've seen how they've won the victory. You've seen how they walk. That's what he's talking about. God, give us older Christians that walk, that other Christians might be influenced, not by their bad behavior, but by their good behavior. We have so many bad examples. God, give us good examples. Benevolence, kindness, brotherly love, meekness, humility, long-suffering, patience. That's what he's talking about. So you see, it's not inappropriate for this last year. It's very appropriate. All those that will live godly in Christ Jesus, our legacy, we shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving but being deceived. But let us not be caught off by that. Let us continue in the things that we've learned and heard and be assured of who we heard them from. And let us stay in the Scriptures because they'll make us wise unto salvation. That's the key. That's the solution. That's how we become victorious. God give us grace. Great Baptist, Grace Baptist Church, to know that, to live that, to experience that, to claim that for 2009. Because, beloved, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. By God's grace, may He be merciful to us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for Thy Word, how powerful it is. And I pray that, God, it would truly pierce our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray that, God, it would encourage and excite us for this next year. May we enter into this year with great anticipation and excitement, not with doubts and fears and dismays. Lord, I pray that, God, You'd rise Thy people up out of the ashes of unbelief. Lord, I pray that, God, You'd help us to see our divine legacy, to embrace it. And, God, by Thy grace, I pray that, Lord, we'd know something of fellowshipping in Your sufferings. God, I pray that, Lord, as we do, I pray that, God, Your kingdom would be advanced, that, Lord, sinners would be saved. God, give us grace, we pray. And, Lord, if this be the year that You return, I pray that, God, when you return, You find faith here at Grace Baptist Church, Father. I pray that, God, we'd glorify Thee. Help us, we pray, for without You, we can do nothing. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming out today.